Welcome to this week's episode of Energy in Action. I'm your host, Stephanie. This podcast is brought to you by our sponsors, Zogenics and Ultragenics. Here on Energy in Action, we talk all things Mito, and our goal is to be informational and entertaining. And today's episode is informational. I'm speaking with Nicole Goebel, the Program Director for Caregivers Action Network. Nicole and I will be discussing some of the fantastic free resources that are available on their website, from their caregiver help desk that is staffed by caregiving experts to the Family Caregiver Toolbox. I hope you find the information we share informational. I know I did, and as a caregiver myself, I found some resources right away that were truly beneficial. Hi, Nicole. I'm so happy to have this conversation with you today. Why don't you give our listeners a little bit of information about you and the organization?
Sure. My name is Nicole Goebel, and I am the program coordinator at Caregiver Action Network, and I assist with the development and implementation of our various programs. So obviously in a time before COVID, that included some in-person workshops. But right now, of course, everything is virtual. But we also, that also includes our very robust toolbox with lots of resources and tools for family caregivers.
I have been on your website and gone through your family caregiver toolbox numerous times, and I'm really excited to go through this with you and let our listeners know about all these awesome resources and just thought maps or thought processes that you guys have put out there to help people find what they need and to think through some hard topics. And let's just dive right in. And just so our listeners know, you can find the toolbox right there on their website. It's just at caregiveraction.org, family-caregiver-toolbox. And if you just type toolbox in their search bar, it'll come right up as well. But let's just dive in. You start where you want to start.
Sure. So yes, our toolbox is on our website. One thing that I will note is that when you go to our website, when you get to that top landing page, caregiveraction.org, there are three kind of sections that you can click on. And they are distinguished as, I just realized I'm a family caregiver now. So, you know, if you are just new to the caregiver role, there's, I have been a family caregiver for years. So perhaps you've been in that role for quite some time. Yes. I don't live by my family, but I'm a caregiver. So this is particularly for those long distance caregivers. And then our last one is I have a job, and I'm the caregiver for my loved ones. So, for those, so for those caregivers that are, you know, working while also being a family caregiver. So, the tools that are in our toolbox, you kind of explained where you can find them right on the right on our website. But if you click on any of those sections, what those are going to do is kind of pull together our tools from the toolbox and some other resources that speak particularly to that experience. So there's a couple different ways that you can kind of get all of those things kind of at your fingertips. But yes, probably, you know, especially if you're new to Caregiver Action Network, going straight to the toolbox to kind of see everything is not a bad idea.
I know I found myself in there for a couple of hours just poking around mm-hmm. and looking at everything. It was great to see it. So which box should we, which situation should we pick for today?
So that's a good question. Well, why don't we start with, I just realized I'm a family caregiver now.
Yes.
So if you click on that right on our landing page, you're going to get, you know, kind of some idea of why we put these resources together in the way that we did. And we kind of outline what some of those particular struggles of family caregivers have when they're just starting out. And so we kind of lay that out, and then we link to all of the resources that we've kind of designated as being particularly useful for those new caregivers.
Wow, I can definitely see three or four right off the bat that would help our families. The patient mm-hmm. file, the doctor office checklist. I think that's something that's so important to sort of have your ducks lined up in the row before you get into the office. That medication checklist, you know, that's mm-hmm. always something. And I'm curious about the ICANN tech, the technology guide for family caregivers. So why don't you just pick a few of your favorites in here and we'll go through them.
Sure. So I'll start by kind of lumping together three checklists: our patient file checklist, our doctor's office checklist, and our medication checklist. You're going to see these kind of sprinkled throughout the website in various areas, because this, regardless of what your caregiving situation is, how long you've been a caregiver, any of those factors, we have found that those checklists are particularly useful for pretty much everyone. And one of the ways that we formulated these checklists is we're kind of giving, I don't want to say, this is how you need to do it. They're kind of guides. They're checklists. They're things to think about as you are, for a patient file, let's say. Mm-hmm. You know, that patient file is kind of all of your loved ones' medical records and kind of associated documents all put together, because we all know that that's incredibly useful.
Yeah.
To have everything together so that when you need to find something, you know exactly where it is and it's all right there. So, you know, this checklist, whether it's, you know, you may decide that you want to put all of these things together electronically, or maybe you want to, you know, have paper copies of everything. This is just a guide to say, here are the things that are really, really a good idea to make sure are included in that patient file, so that when you are with your loved one in the emergency room or at a doctor's office, you have everything together.
Yes, I like that. And I like the different like categories you have in there, their medical history, their insurance information, and mm-hmm. something that we all forget about are the legal documents. Who has the durable power of attorney? Who can make, you know, decisions for this person? That is something I think everybody kind of gets caught with. Oh, shoot, I don't have that information with me. So great mm-hmm. reminders to put that in your patient file. Love that.
Sure. And of course, you know, at the very top of that is, or towards the top of it, is the medication list. Mm-hmm. So we have that medication checklist, which is the other checklist I referenced there yep. as well. And kind of the same idea, really laying out, you know, particularly useful if your loved one is taking lots of medications. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just about knowing what the name is and what the dosage is. Obviously, those are super important. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of other things to maybe include when you're putting together a medication list that is helpful. Like, what does that medication look like? Is it a blue pill? Is it a yellow pill? Is it a liquid? And these are useful in a lot of different ways. Because, you know, one thing that may occur is maybe there's another family member or a friend or an in-home support person that is helping your loved one. And to have everything kind of laid out in that way can be really helpful for them.
Definitely.
So when they're helping your loved one get their medication, I need to give them this pill. I can look at the name. I can also make sure, it's right here. It says it's a yellow pill.
Yep.
So it's just really, the checklists in particular are just kind of guides of, here are things to think about when you're in these situations, when you are putting together those medical records, when you're creating that medication list, and when you're going to the doctor's office. You know, you have such limited time,
right,
in those doctor's appointments, and you want to make sure that you are leaving with questions answered.
Oh, exactly.
And so we've created, there's some other tools in the toolbox as well that kind of are a nice companion piece to that. But it's really about, here are some ways that you can approach those doctor's visits so that you are making the most of that really short time that you have with your loved one's doctors.
That medication checklist would have come in super handy when I was helping to care for my aging grandmother. One day I went to help set up her meds, and she had all of them sorted by color, not by the correct dose for the day. And I said, "What happened to your meds, Grandma?" And she said, "Oh, I thought they looked pretty like this." And I had to go back, take everything. And luckily the pharmacist was able to sit down with me, and we were able to sort out which white ones were which and the yellows. And it was a process, but that would have definitely helped out if I would have had, okay, the ones with the little X on or this and that. So good idea. I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that.
Exactly. And it's, you know, and that's such a great example because, you know, whether you are, you know, the one that's kind of giving your loved one their medication, or your loved one is able to take their medication themselves, but maybe needs a little bit of help. Mm-hmm. You know, that's useful information because exactly to what your example was speaking to, you know, it could, if I'm caring for someone and they, you know, I want to remind them to take their medication, it's a lot easier for me to say, okay, you know, it's time to go take, you know, the yellow pill, the green pill, whatever the case may be. It's it just opens up a lot of opportunities to make sure that, you know, again, this is really speaking to making it useful for you.
Definitely. Yeah, that's a I love that. So what would be our next one? Then you said there were, so we have the patient, doctor's office checklist, and then our med checklist, correct?
Yeah. Okay. So those, like I said, those I think are, they're really great tools. You're going to find them sprinkled throughout our website because they're really something that speak to caregivers in all different types of situations. The other one that I would kind of bring up as one that is, I think, pretty useful is the how to talk to your doctor. So I said, you know, we have some tools that are nice companion pieces to others. So, you know, you've got the checklist. Maybe you know how to go into that doctor's appointment, but what are some ways, again, that you can make sure that you're communicating effectively with those doctors so that they understand what you're trying to say? Because sometimes, I know it's happened to me, both as a caregiver and as a patient, you know, you can find yourself maybe not being able to connect with a doctor right away because you feel like you're kind of talking in circles of, no, this is what I'm trying to communicate with you. And they're like, oh, is it this? Well, no, that's not what I mean. Because they're looking at something from a completely different perspective, perhaps.
Exactly.
So this is a really good tool to, you know, perhaps take a gander at. And it's a video. It's a longer video. It's just over 20 minutes. But, you know, if you've got some time, something that maybe you can sit down and watch, you know, before you go to that doctor's appointment with your loved one. Because it's, you know, it can really help as you're preparing for that appointment, figuring out what you need to say and how you need to say it.
I have watched the video and I completely agree. I felt I was a very good communicator. My son is 21 years old. So I sort of thought I was, you know, just like this veteran model caregiver patient. And I picked up some great tips and I've already implemented a few of them. And you're right, it does, it keeps the appointment moving along, but it also removes any sort of adversarial type communication or misrepresentation of what you're trying to communicate, because you're not trying to diagnose the patient. You're just trying to give them the symptoms or what the day-to-day is looking like or what your concerns are. And it very effective communication tools in that video. I highly recommend taking the time to sit down and watch it and kind of role play in your head how that would pertain to your upcoming appointments.
Exactly. And, you know, of course, we're talking about it from a family caregiver perspective. Mm-hmm. But like I said, these are tools that have been helpful for me as a patient, you know, because it's always good to, you know, one of the things that we often talk about as well is that, you know, as a family caregiver, taking care of yourself can be a real struggle. And so implementing some of these tools and resources just for yourself can be really helpful in making that component, you know, easier as well. But yeah, it's, again, I think that these are resources, you know, when you kind of lump these four together, I think are really a nice little package of making sure that when it comes to kind of the medical end of kind of the care that you may be providing, you've got some really strong resources to help make sure that you know kind of what you're doing there.
Definitely. I like that. Okay, what's our next one?
So the next one that I want to point out is one called defining the help you need. And this one's a little bit different. What this is one of the things that can be a struggle for all of us in a lot of different situations is, you know, kind of admitting, I guess, to ourselves that we need a little bit of help.
Right.
That we can't do it all on our own. And one of the struggles of being a family caregiver is sometimes you may be able to say, well, I need help, but I don't know exactly what kind of help I need.
Right. Or what's people say, really, how can I help you? And you're just at a loss. You're like, I don't even know what to say, how you can help me. So you just say, oh, I'm fine. I got it. But you need help.
Exactly. And so this resource, it's kind of an article in format, is really helpful in being able to get you to think about, you know, when you do want to reach out for help, helping you be able to answer that question, you know, if it comes up, how can I help? It gets you kind of thinking along those lines. And it's really been a tool that, you know, in a couple of conversations I've had with folks that have said, oh yeah, you know, I wish I would have had this before because I've needed help, but when someone's asked, I haven't been able to tell them what I needed help with, or when I wanted to reach out to someone, I didn't know how. So it's a very, I think, beneficial tool. And again, one of those that, regardless of, I think, a lot of different care situations, something that's really beneficial.
Yes, I agree. I again read through this a few times and thought, again, good scenarios, the emotional experience, and then just the tasks, just taking the time to list out the tasks. And when you see that, you're like, oh, I could assign somebody or ask for help with transportation or the household chores. And what are those household chores? Do I need help with laundry? Do I need help with yard work? So it's really, like I said earlier, this is a great thought-provoking kind of mapping out how you can do this successfully without begrudgingly doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So
agreed.
Okay. What's our next one? I like this one.
So our next one that I'm going to talk about, kind of going back to some of that, I guess, more medical leaning kind of resource, and that is managing your loved one's meds. And this is another slightly longer video, just over 30 minutes, but I think it hits on a few of the things that we talked about with like the medication checklist, you know, how you're kind of putting all these resources together to make sure that when it comes down to actually doing a task, you're feeling good about it.
Right.
And you're able to do it and your loved one is feeling good about it. So this one talks about the managing of your loved one's meds. So it talks about some of the process involved. So it's, you know, the creating of that list. It's, you know, how you communicate with the pharmacist. What kind of things do you need to be tracking with your loved one's meds?
Yes.
Some of that's in the checklist as well. You know, obviously any side effects. You know, we also encourage being able to kind of keep a tabs on past medications because, you know, that may be something that comes up at a doctor's appointment, you know, when you're figuring out what, you know, if there's a new medication that your loved one wants to take, being able to look back and say, yeah, they've taken this before and they didn't have any kind of bad reactions to it, seemed to work well. This video does a really good job at kind of getting into a little bit more of those specifics of the process. And again, really useful, especially if you're a new caregiver, because I think it points out a lot of, you know, just kind of things that you can continue to refine in your process as well. You know, that's one thing I always like to stress is that none of these resources on our website are really what I like to call prescriptive. They're not, you know, you have to do it this way. We want to give you a little bit of guidance. We want to be able to help you get the information that you need so that you can then kind of implement it in a way that's going to be really useful for you.
Yes, I like that. Yes, exactly. Like I said, you can sort of role play it. How does this work for me? Think through, you know, the scenarios or what they're saying, and definitely find that commonality on how it can work into your situation.
And again, some of these resources are going to be kind of in these different sections on the website as well. Obviously, you know, in our toolbox, but when you click on, you know, I've been a caregiver for years, you know, the patient file checklist, doctor's checklist, medication checklist, managing the meds, along with some other tools are all going to be there too. You know, so there are certainly a number of resources that kind of speak across a lot of different situations. But certainly, I think one of the great things about the website is that there's a lot of different ways to access them. So whether you're just going into, you know, one of those sections or you're just going straight to the toolbox, you know, it's a good way to just kind of explore and figure out what resources are really going to speak to you and what you're needing in that moment.
Exactly. And I like in the next box where it's, I have been a family caregiver for years, right at the top, how to find a support group. Just right there. You guys are like, you know what? We get it. Respite, time out for caregivers. I'm all about that. That should just be a meme. Caregivers, time out. So again, great suggestions in there. Things I hadn't even thought of. And like you and I, when we were talking earlier, we talked about, you know, maybe you can't go to a yoga class, but maybe find yoga online or on an app on your phone and take 5-10 minutes to do something for yourself, you know, doing it that way versus, you know, the preferred way of going to a class. And well, right now with COVID, nobody's going to a class. So I think, you know, that was a great suggestion. Honestly, it was something I hadn't even really thought about for myself. And then accepting respite, that's really hard for caregivers. I think, especially for women, I think we just feel like, you know what, I just have to power through this. And so what's your thoughts on that accepting respite? Where do you guys see that with people who call in and ask for help?
I mean, respite is important. You know, and respite can look different. You know, oftentimes, I think family caregivers sometimes feel guilty mm-hmm. about needing respite because, you know, kind of what we were speaking about before when talking about, you know, being able to kind of define the help that you need. Respite obviously plays a part in that, you know, being able to have time to take care of yourself, but also the ability to just kind of do the things that you need to do on a day to day, because there's so much juggling. And so being able to explore respite options, I think, are important because you've got to be able to have, you know, some space, some breathing room. So it's something that, you know, we hear about a lot, especially folks that call into our caregiver help desk, which is one of our newer tools. And you'll see that on our landing page as well. It's a phone number, but you can also engage with them, you know, via a chat feature on our website. You can email. But, you know, and that's kind of a great tool overall, especially if you're finding yourself in that position of something, I know I need help, but maybe I'm not able to figure out what that is just now, but I need to talk it through with someone. Yes. It's a really great resource for that in particular, because it's just really wonderful folks, experts that are able to kind of talk with you and help you define what kind of resources, tools, assistance you need. And they can connect you, you know, not just with national organizations that may have information or tools that you can use, but can also help you find, you know, you're talking about support groups or classes, they can help you find those in your community. So it's really a great thing. And respite obviously plays a part in that as well.
Definitely.
So yes, respite is absolutely important. And, you know, that's why we want folks to be able to feel like, no, reaching out for respite is absolutely fine and necessary.
And I think sometimes when people finally have the opportunity to voice it to somebody else mm-hmm. and feel safe with it, it's such a relief. And it's almost like that phenomenon where you say it once as a whisper, and then the next time you say it at, you know, library level, and then pretty soon you find your voice. And I know that sounds rather dramatic, but so many of our caregivers feel, again, this is my lot mm-hmm. in life. I have to do this. There aren't any other choices. It's still okay to reach out and say, I need help. Can you help me figure out some support? And I love that you have this chat feature or even the call-in feature. What type of experts are on? It says you're staffed with experts. Like, mm-hmm. are they volunteers? Like, what kind of background do you have with your experts?
So these are experts with various backgrounds. Some have some medical background, but this is not about giving kind of that medical advice. This is really about, you know, some of, you know, like what we are talking about with our resources. You know, certainly if you are looking for more medical advice, they will probably direct you to some organizations or kind of help you figure out, you know, this probably is a conversation to be having with those healthcare professionals, the doctors. Mm-hmm. You know, they come with a wide variety of different experiences, but much like with Caregiver Action Network, many of them have that direct caregiving experience. We've been caregivers. And so they're really able to speak from that experience as well.
Awesome. That is great to have like somebody who's been in the trenches, so they completely understand somewhat of the situation that you're in and can have more empathy, I think, than just a a person picking up a hotline phone. So I love that you guys really staff that appropriately. Mm-hmm. All right, on to the next one, sorry.
So the other resource, I'll say the other resource that I do want to point out on our website is the top 10 tips for caregivers. So this is a really great resource to go back to regularly. And basically it's our top 10 list of things that advice or tips that we would want to give to family caregivers. And of course, family caregivers across all different kinds of situations and scenarios. And so if you go to that on our website, you can click on that from the toolbox. I believe it's also listed on our website, kind of on a little side menu as well. So it's pretty easily accessible there. But you click on it, and not only is it just kind of a cool little image with those 10 tips, so like seek support mm-hmm. from other caregivers, take care of your own health, things like that.
Yep.
We provide links to the resources that help you do that. So it's not just, hey, here's the thing you can do. It's here's the thing you can do, and here's a resource that's going to help you do that.
Oh my gosh, I love that. And so being open to new technology, I just clicked the link and boom, you guys just put in like all of these great things, automated pill dispensers, social robots. It's wow, this is amazing. Good job, you guys. I love this.
Yeah. And so again, it's one of the ways that we really want to make sure that, you know, the content on our website of any kind of piece is really not just, you know, here's what you need to do. It's here's what you can do, and here's a way that you can do it. Here's a way that you can, you know, get started on that process. And, you know, like I said, it's a good resource to go back to, you mm-hmm. know, because everyone is in different places in their caregiving journey. And it's, you know, I find the 10 tips really useful to go back to as reminders of, you know, am I really taking care of my own health right now? Is that something that I've been neglecting? Mm-hmm. So going back to that document can kind of be like, hey, you know, tip two, have you done that?
Yes.
So it's one of those, I think, really, really great tools. And one of the ones that, you know, from the back end of our website, we find that, you know, people most frequently visit. And so it's definitely, I think, you know, if I could get individuals started on one resource, I would say start there.
Yes, I agree, because it is a very good visual. It's a nice map, but you can refer back to it, especially on a day where you're feeling a little discombobulated. You can just look through there mm-hmm. and go, okay, where are you? Okay, yep, I've done that. Yep, I've done that. Oh, yeah, you know, I should, what are the signs of depression? Where am I at with, you know, number six? And then you give some great resources for that. So you're not,
mm-hmm.
you're not trying to do two things at once, care for somebody and figure out something else in your head. It's like, here, let us put this, you know, out there for you. And I like that you acknowledge it even, because so many caregivers, it's just not something that's even acknowledged. So I think that's a great step to have right smack in the middle of the map here.
Exactly. And again, it's, you know, when you to the website, you're trying to figure out like, what is it that I need? What is really going to help me in my particular situation? You know, it's a good place to start, because of course, where you are in a moment is going to change. And so again, going back to this, because, you know, a little bit further down the line, maybe it's okay, now I need to figure out how to organize this medical information, because I'm now taking, you know, my loved one to the doctor's appointments. Or you know what? I've been caregiving now for a little bit and I'm starting to feel really zapped. And you know, what are some things that can help me with that? And yeah, respite breaks are a piece of that, but also, you know, encouraging individuals, family caregivers to keep their mental health in mind as well. You know, it's mm-hmm. a very important and difficult job being a family caregiver. And so it can certainly impact your mental health. And we also want family caregivers to take note of that.
I agree. Wow. I like that. Okay. What's next?
So the other resource that I do want to point some folks to is our care community. And our care community is just kind of an online support group. It's a forum, and you can go in. It's divided into different topics. There are different topics, you know, again, kind of related to some of the things that we've talked about. Mm-hmm. You know, folks that are new family caregivers. There's some specific disease and condition related topics as well. I think yes. Alzheimer's and COPD. So you can go in there and, you know, ask questions of other caregivers and be able to, you know, make that connection with a peer. And of course, it being online, you know, there can be some of that feeling of being anonymous.
Right.
So, you know, if that's sometimes it can be a little difficult to ask questions because you're like, oh, I'm a little embarrassed, or I feel some pretty challenging emotions in having this question or needing to ask this. Mm-hmm. So being able to do it in that particular kind of setting can be useful for some that, you know, just want to get it out there and see how other folks can respond and, you know, get responses from folks that maybe have been through that experience themselves. So
definitely,
yeah, I think that's really an important feature of that.
I agree. And I've noticed too, just in other forums and just even in social media, when people put the question out there, you can hear mm-hmm. the relief in people's responses when they say, oh my gosh, I have that same problem, or this, or like you said, somebody who's been there, done that, can offer out what worked for them. And sometimes it feels so good to know that you're helpful beyond your own four walls. So I love this idea.
Yeah, it's a great tool. And I think, again, you know, obviously, given, you know, the pandemic, online forums and support groups, I think have been really important for folks to kind of stay engaged with other family caregivers. Because, you know, it's such, I think it can be such a powerful thing mm-hmm. to be able to share experiences with folks that are in the same boat. And
definitely.
So having these forums and online kind of communities, I think, is very, very important, especially now.
I agree. Especially now when we're all so isolated, this is a great opportunity for people and just a great tool. I'm just looking at, you know, all the, even you have one that you're caring for someone with mental health issues. That's a huge, mm-hmm. huge category right there. So excellent.
Sure. And again, you know, I think that section in particular, you know, caring for someone with mental health issues, there's a lot of stigma mm-hmm. around mental illness. And, you know, it's certainly one thing to, you know, share your experiences of caring for, you know, maybe you're caring for an older loved one with Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's an experience that you can, you know, speak about and know that it's something that, you know, some individuals will have, I think, a a connection to, mm-hmm. or an understanding of. But when you're talking about the mental health aspects, that can be a real challenge because of the stigma. So being able to have it in that, setting where, again, you can be anonymous and not have that fear, I think is really, really, really beneficial.
I agree. This being able to speak out what's on your mind and be anonymous is a great, very helpful tool here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What I liked reading the caregiver stories and watching the videos. I was able to find some commonality there and just look into, how people are doing things and hearing their story. I love to hear the stories of how, people do it, how they feel successful. It makes you feel like you've found more people who get you and understand you. So mm-hmm. I really loved.
Yeah, absolutely. And, we have a number of video series that are, we have an Alzheimer's video series where it is really great videos of family caregivers sharing not just, the successes and the challenges of their experiences, but, what has made, things that they've done to make some of those challenges work. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, those videos are very, 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 very good. And they're pretty short. I know the Alzheimer's ones are in particular, but I know that we also have some that are on Huntington's as well. So there's, certainly, one of the things that we are very mindful of, especially as we build out more disease and condition specific content, is really highlighting those caregiver narratives.
Right. I like that. Yeah. I like I said, I've read the stories, I've watched the videos. I have aging parents. I could definitely relate to the ones in the Alzheimer's area.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Very, very good.
Excellent. Yeah. Those are great. And, just to kind of piggyback off of the disease and condition specific content, certainly, when you're exploring the website, I think one thing that has been really interesting, and I think you kind of phrased it perfectly, is that, even going in, you may be caring for someone with a rare disease, you may be caring for someone with cancer, mm-hmm. but even like going back and looking at these Alzheimer's videos, I think there's still a lot to actually get out of those, because, there's a lot of commonality within the caregiving experience for a lot of folks. And so they are very beneficial. So certainly I cannot speak highly enough of those videos. I think they're really great. If you are so inclined, take a look at some of those disease and condition specific resources on our website. I know that we have one that is designated for caring for a loved one that's had a stroke. Mm-hmm. But obviously there's a lot of things that I think, although it speaks to that experience particularly, there's still a lot that you, I think, can get out of that, regardless of what your caregiving situation may be. And certainly there are going to be some that are more, I think, relatable. Like I said, our toolbox is just really filled with a ton of great things that, regardless of where you are within your caregiving journey, you're going to find a lot of things that are useful. And, whether you're clicking on that toolbox or you want to start by clicking on the homepage of, what kind of caregiving situation, but, you know, best kind of defines where you're at. You're really getting, I think, a great set of resources that are going to help you regardless and really help you in kind of the day to day.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. It's your, the toolbox is, again, the Family Caregiver Toolbox just has so many great suggestions and links and just reassurance that you're not alone. Somebody else has thought about mm-hmm. it, has done it, has experienced it. Here's some guidance. And you know what? In business, we say work smarter, not harder. And mm-hmm. that's what it is in caregiving here. It's just looking at these other examples and putting them into practice into your own situation. And then being open to modifying it as you need so that it fits your situation the best that it can.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, I can't stress it enough. So many of our resources are really built around that idea of, you know, use this as kind of your guide to figure out what is going to work best for you. Because there's so many different ways to approach a lot of it, you know, even like I was talking about with medications.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people want to have all their information digital. And there's a lot of apps that you can have on your phone to track that. But, you know, for some people that's not the ideal kind of format for that.
Right.
And so it's, you know, here's the bits of information that you may want to keep together. How you do that, the way that you do that is really, it really needs to speak to what's best for you.
Definitely. Definitely. Well, Nicole, I want to save some of our information for our next series. So I thank you today for coming on the Energy in Action podcast. It was just delightful to go through all of these things that I've been looking at on your website and putting into practice into my own caregiving with my parents and my son. So thank you again. And I look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to this week's episode of Energy in Action. Remember to give us a 5-star rating on your listening app to help boost us up on the charts. This show is brought to you by MitoAction, Zogenix, Reneo, and Ultragenix. Be sure to join next week for more things all Mito. This is your host, Stephanie, Rare Mom Extraordinaire.